We invite you to find in your Bible either one you brought with you or there's one in front of you in the pew rack. This will also be up on the screen. We'll be reading from Genesis chapter 28, beginning in verse 10, and I'll be reading through verse 19. Hear then the word of God for us. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there of that place, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar. He poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? God of grace, it fills me with joy to be in this place, with this people, to be gathered in your name, to be worshiping you. As we turn to Scripture, Holy Spirit, we ask that you give us ears to hear. For we are your servants, and we are listening. Amen. At the heart of this passage, did you hear it? Is a rock. Jacob, the main character in this story, he's fleeing for his life. And to be honest, this is not a good guy, Jacob. If you read in the previous chapter, Genesis chapter 27, you're going to learn that Jacob is a trickster, a deceiver, a liar, a thief, really. He stole the birthright from his older brother Esau, and in the ancient world, that is a huge deal because this birthright, this blessing, this inheritance was going to Esau, and Jacob wanted it, and he got it through trickery and deceit. This is the man to whom receives this incredible vision of God, and Jacob is running for his life, afraid, I think quite rightly, of what Esau is going to do to him. And so he's running and he encounters this incredible dream, this vision of God, and God's speaking, and he has this dream and he wakes up and he recalls the dream, kind of like, have you ever experienced that? You wake up and you've had this dream and you're trying to grab onto it before it slips from your mind. And he recognizes that God has spoken to him, and he takes this rock that he had been sleeping on as a pillow. Now, you're really desperate if you're using a rock as a pillow. And yet, that is the state that Jacob is in. He comes to this place not because he had set out to go to that particular place. He just got to that place because he could go no further. He couldn't go on. He was so tired. So he lays down to sleep and puts his head on this rock, has this dream, and in the morning realizes God has appeared to him, and he takes this rock and he places it in the ground and he pours oil on top of it. He consecrates it and he says, surely God is in this place and I did not know it. God appeared to Jacob in what I'm going to call an in-between moment. Because if anyone has ever been in between, surely it's this man, Jacob. Again, he's really standing between two thens. The then of his past and the then of his future. And his past, I don't really know if he regrets it, but he should because of what he did to his brother Esau. That's what's in his past, and he's running from it. And in his future is what he hopes God is going to do. He's going to this distant land where he has relatives. He hopes to find a wife to kind of start his career, you would say, which for a nomad means gathering sheep and raising up flocks and all that. And so in the future, that's what Jacob hopes for, but he's in this in-between moment, and it's in that moment that he encounters God, and he notes it, he recognizes it. He takes that rock, he puts it in the ground, he says, God is in this place. The heart of this passage is that rock, that stone. So, I want to give you a rock, and they're in the pews there by you, so grab those bowls and pass them around. Choose whatever rock you want. I splurged on you. I bought each of you a rock, okay? So this is my gift to you. This is yours to keep. I want you to hold on to it through this worship service. I want you to take it home with you. Really, there's a special name for this rock and the rock that Jacob used. It's called an Ebenezer. An Ebenezer, it's a strange name, I know, but it comes from another passage in Scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 7, and there the Israelites have just defeated the Philistines with an incredible victory, and the prophet notes that God has shown up, Samuel does, and he takes a rock, a stone, much like Jacob did, and he puts it in the ground as a monument, and he calls it an Ebenezer, which means in Hebrew, God has been our help. That's 1 Samuel chapter 7. I invite you to read that chapter and also Genesis chapter 27 later so you can get the sense of kind of the trickster that Jacob is. So you can do all of that this afternoon. You're not doing anything else, are you? But read those passages of Scripture, and this is your rock to keep. This is your Ebenezer. To look for God, to watch for God, to listen to God. And when God shows up, in whatever kind of in-between moment you're in your life, to notice and to say, God is in this place. Surely I did not know it. At the close of this worship service, we're going to sing one of my favorite hymns, maybe one of yours, Come the Fount of Every Blessing. And in the second verse of that hymn is this line, Here I raise my Ebenezer. Safely by thy help I've come. That's referencing that Samuel passage, but really also this passage where this rock figures so prominently. And you should know, by the way, Robert Robinson, who wrote that hymn, he too was in an in-between moment in his life. Much like Jacob, with some bad stuff in his past and hopes for the future. But God shows up and speaks to him. To Robinson, and he writes that line, Here I raise my Ebenezer, safely by your help I have come, God. It's been my experience, I wonder if it's been yours as well, that God likes to show up in the in-between moments of our lives, when we're not expecting God to show up. That's certainly been the case for me the past 4.5 years. Heather and I and our kids moved back to Boulder, which is my hometown, and we had a lot of dreams for what was going to happen in the future as we were moving to Boulder, and, you know, some really good things that happened in the past, and we had all these dreams for the future, and I kind of thought moving back to Boulder, to my hometown, was kind of like moving to the promised land, but that really, it hasn't been my experience, because I've been waiting and watching and hoping for what God's going to do, particularly in regards to my ministry, and a lot of that's been unsettled in terms of a long-term call, and so it's been difficult, it's been hard, and it hasn't really felt like the promised land in Boulder. Now, some of you probably could have told me that Boulder's not the promised land. Now I know. But God has shown up in that in-between moment in my life and worked on my heart. God's formed me as I've followed him and paid attention and watched and tried to listen, formed my identity, that yes, I'm a pastor, and yes, I love what I'm doing right now, preaching, But that's not who I am primarily. Primarily, I'm a Denver Broncos fan, actually. No, before that even, much before that, I'm a child of God. And that's what God has pressed in my heart, and it's taken me being in this in-between moment between these two thens of my past and my future and waiting and listening and hoping for God and looking for these kind of Ebenezer moments that I hope you'll wait and watch for with me. I wonder, how are you in between right now? We're all in between in some way. Where do you stand in relation to your past? Do you miss it? Do you long for it, some kind of glory days or who you were with then, who's no longer around? What was going on? Or in reference to your past, are you more like Jacob? Do you regret it? Are there things that you did that you should not have done? Or are there things that you left undone that you should have accomplished? That's in your past. That's your then. But then probably, like me, you have these hopes for the future and for God to show up and what's going to happen. And that could be career or relationship or who knows what. But you have all these dreams and you would expect, yeah, God's going to show up then. But you're not then yet. You're here in the middle, in between, and you look around and there's this rock on the ground. And you're exhausted and maybe you use it as a pillow. You're in this in-between moment and the call, First Pres Church, is to wait and to watch for God, to hold on to that stone loosely. It's really, technically, it's not an Ebenezer yet. It becomes an Ebenezer when God shows up and does something, speaks, acts, and you notice it. You hear, you watch, and you say, God has shown up in this place. It's an Ebenezer moment. Surely, this church is in an in-between moment, is it not? Standing between two thens, the then of the past, the then of the future. What an incredible history this church has that I've been learning of the past few weeks. Speaking of stones, the stones of this very building, those are Ebenezers, aren't they? Brought from a ranch called the Davis Ranch by this congregation to this place, stacked on the walls. Are there those of you here who held those stones in your place, in this place? Can you just raise your hand? Who was here for that moment? Put your hands up high. You placed the stones in place. You placed those stones in place. You held those Ebenezers. That moment really kind of captures the incredible history of this congregation and its long faithfulness to the Lord. There's been some hard things in your past too, haven't there? Are there some regrets? Some things you wished wouldn't have happened? Surely too, there's also been some incredible leadership. Even recently, I feel like I'm stepping into this pastoral miracle of what Paul Parsons accomplished here the past 2 years and a few extra months. And so there's much in our past, this church, for which we either long or maybe kind of regret, but we're not there anymore. And we're also not there yet. But we have longings for the future, don't we? For an installed senior pastor and what God's going to do then in the future. And yet we're here, and we're in between. And so I wonder if you would wait and watch and listen with me. I think that's the call for this church in this season. You know, I'm looking at just 3 months of ministry. That's how long my contract is. Perhaps it'll be extended if need be, depending on how things go with the pastoral nominating committee for whom I'm praying. I hope you're praying. It's their job to find a pastor. It's your job to pray for that committee. And so eventually that will happen and we'll get to that future, but we're here right now. And so what would God do in the here and the now? And I would say we need to wait and watch and listen for those Ebenezer moments. Really, all I'm hoping for in the next few months is for this church to have a posture of prayer, to be listening, waiting, watching for what God is doing and what God wants to do. And so when we do get to this moment and there's a new senior pastor, you can say to that pastor, I've been praying. You can even hand to him or her this rock, because you've been waiting and you've been watching for what God's going to do. That's our job. It's God's job to show up and to speak and to act and to lead. It's our job to watch for that and to listen. And when it happens, to mark it and to say like Jacob, God is in this place, in this in-between time. When I wasn't even looking for it, God showed up. And to mark it. Because we can miss it. You know, Jacob, for all his past and his character, his deceit, he noticed when God showed up. And he said, surely God is in this place, and I did not know it. And he knew God for the first time as his God, not just the God of Abraham, his grandfather, or Isaac, his father. God said to him, I am your God. I am with you. And Jacob realized it and knew it and claimed that Ebenezer moment. And that's my only hope for us, that we would do the same, because we can miss it, can't we? There's a violinist by the name of Joshua Bell, incredible musician, probably, if not the best violinist in the world, certainly among the top three, you would probably say. And a number of years ago, the Washington Post decided they wanted to do a kind of experiment with Joshua Bell. So this reporter organized the setup. It was in Washington, D.C., in a metro station there. And Joshua Bell, this world-renowned violinist, you have to pay a couple hundred bucks just to go to his concerts. He sets up in this metro station in Washington, D.C., and he's wearing kind of street clothes. He doesn't look like he's a world-renowned violinist, jeans and a T-shirt and a baseball cap. And he sets up in a corner, opens up his violin case, throws a little money in there to kind of, you know, prime the pump. Nothing had been tweeted about this. No one knew this was Joshua Bell. He wasn't easily recognizable. And he started to play. And the Washington Post had cameras going to see exactly what would happen and people watching. And had you been there this morning, one of those thousands of commuters going through that DC metro station, this is what you would have heard. Astounding music, isn't it? That is the last movement of Bach's Violin Partita 2 in D minor. Marv, you can tell me later if I got that wrong. Thank you. Beautiful music, isn't it? I wonder, had you been one of those commuters, what would you have done? Would you have stopped and paused to listen? By the way, Bell's played for heads of state in Europe. That violin he was playing, an 18th century Stradivarius, worth about $1 million. As the cameras were rolling and as these reporters were watching, 1,097 people walked by Joshua Bell within the space of about 2 hours. Do you know how many of them stopped even for just a moment to listen? Seven. And by the way, four of those, maybe five, were children. And that says something, doesn't it? Why didn't they stop? They were in between. They were running, weren't they? They had their minds on something else. Maybe they were burdened by their past a bit. They were certainly running to their future, consumed with what was going on. And they missed it, this beauty that was right there in front of them. They didn't stop, they didn't listen, they didn't watch. They didn't say, surely the Lord is in this place. Sisters and brothers, I simply want us to be like the seven who stopped, who watched, who who listened. And may this stone be that call for your life this week. Not today, because you have other things going on, but maybe tomorrow. Set this rock in your hand, just like I'm doing, with an open palm. And spend a few moments praying to the Lord. God, how do you want to show up in my life? How are you showing up? What are you saying? What are you doing? How are you working in ways that I am not noticing? You're standing between these two thens, and so let go of the past and let go of the future and let God speak to you in this in-between moment. And First Pres, that's the only thing I would call us to, is that kind of waiting and watching. And so also spend some time in prayer about this church, again with this stone in your hand, and say, God, how are you working? How are you acting? And how do you want me to be a part of that? Maybe God's calling you to something you haven't done yet here, some act of service with the children or with the youth ministry. And as you're holding on to the stone too, also be holding on loosely to what's in your bank account. Maybe God's calling you to increase giving at this church. You know, I say that as a pastor, by the way, because as a pastor, I'm concerned about discipleship. And whether you like it or not, God talks all the time in the Bible about money, because God knows our hearts are tied to our checkbooks, and God wants our hearts. And so hold onto the stone and pray about your giving and your finances. Pray, God, how do you want to show up? How do you want to appear? How do you want to speak in this church? We are in this in-between moment. And so our call is to wait and to watch, to pray, to listen. And when God shows up, to say, surely the Lord is in this place. And to consecrate that rock, that Ebenezer. Let me invite you to hold that rock in your hand as I was just directing you to do. And let's say a prayer right now, as we wait and watch for God. So will you pray with me? God of grace, with these stones, these ordinary stones in our hands, we simply say to you, how are you working? What are you doing? What do you want to say? God, give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see what you are doing in our lives, what you long to do in this church. And God, when that happens and we can count on you to show up, to act, to speak, when that happens, we will note it and we will say, Lord, you are here. You are in this place, in this in-between time. Lord Jesus, that is our hope. That is our expectation. That's our prayer in your name. Amen.